This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program does help and bless you. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, you can do so through my website, and you can do that through regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can even download it to your computer if you would like. Now, today we want to continue our journey through Genesis chapter, where we've reached chapter 23. Last time we looked at Genesis 22, where Abraham was a worshiper, and we saw him, his faith being tested. And whether you have gotten a hold of this truth or not, when we say we have faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus, when we say that we are trusting in the truth that Christ died for the ungodly, that we know God is our God, Christ is our Savior, when we say those things, we're going to be tested on those things. And God himself tested Abraham. He didn't test Abraham in order to cause him to fail. He tested Abraham to prove that he was real. Sometimes people say, well, you don't test gold in order to prove that it's not gold. You test gold to show to people that it is real gold. Now, that may be an oversimplified illustration, because I think I might want to see gold tested to prove that it was real gold. But the point is, with Abraham, he was the real deal, and he was willing to do what God asked him to do, even when he didn't understand. And that's something that I've been trying to impress upon people that I know. They keep reasoning with me about things that are hard to understand in the Bible. And I tell them that when it comes to our relationship with God, we have to let God be God, and we have to let man be man. And sometimes we have to trust God when we don't understand. Often that comes up when we are looking at people going through trials, and we wonder why they're going through the trials they're going through. And frankly, it's easy for us to try to give them an answer and an explanation for those trials. We even try to find sin in their lives at times so that they'll be able to correct that sin and not go through the trial. And frankly, we generally really don't know. There could be a situation where there's sin in a person's life. And if there is sin in a person's life and they're being tried because of it, obviously it won't do, the trial will do them no good unless God shows them that sin. And so I think I've said on this program before that we don't really need to go on an expedition looking for sin in our lives when something happens. If the Lord is trying to correct us, surely he's going to show us what he's trying to correct before he does the correcting, just like an earthly father would. So oftentimes it's best just to leave things alone and to listen and to sympathize, because we have to let God be God, and we have to let him do what he feels needs to be done, and we have to trust him even when we don't understand. And with Abraham, when he was called to offer his son Isaac upon the altar, I would think that he was obedient to a command that he did not fully understand, because God had never demanded human sacrifice before, and the only human sacrifice that he demanded subsequent to this was when his own son died on an old rugged cross outside the city gates of Jerusalem. So he was willing to have his faith tested, and he came through like gold. He did what God asked him to do, and he was blessed on the other side of the test. So just remember, if you claim to trust the Lord, your faith will be tested. Sometimes it's tested in such a way that it appears God is doing the testing, and sometimes it appears that Satan is doing the testing, as the test was done in the early part of the Lord's own ministry, when he was went into the wilderness and was hungry and was 40 days and 40 nights without food, and Satan came along and tested him. Now, we're going to have those tests. The question is, will we pass the test? The test does not make us fit for heaven, but if we're fit for heaven, hopefully we will have enough confidence in God to pass the tests that come our way, because sometimes those tests are from Satan himself, but they're always allowed by God. Now, when we come to Genesis chapter 23, we're looking at Abraham as a pilgrim and a stranger. You'll remember that he had been told that he would be given that land. If we were to go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, we read, "Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared unto him." And now we're seeing Abraham being that stranger. And as we come down through this passage, we come to 23, chapter 23 and verse 4, and he says, "I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." Now, what's happened is that Sarah has died, and he's going to buy land from the inhabitants of that land as a burial place for Sarah. And it's interesting that this is the only piece of real estate that Abraham owned. It's the only piece of real estate that he ever owned. He was a pilgrim and a stranger in the land that God had promised to his descendants, as we've already read. And this is a picture and there's some teaching here for those of us who are Christians today. We are not people who are earth dwellers like the Jews who dwell on the earth and whose promises are on the earth. We are people who are just passing through. And our land is a spiritual land with spiritual promises and with spiritual blessings, and we are not to put our roots deep into this earth. And yet, when we look at Christians today, it seems to me that most of what they're doing is related to making the earth a better place to live rather than making people fit for a heavenly dwelling. Abraham, it says, looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. I might read to you from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 about Abraham, where it discusses this fact that he was a pilgrim and a stranger. In Hebrews 11 and verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." That means he walked by faith and not by sight. "By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country." This is the land that's been promised him. But he dwelt as if he was in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking beyond this life to eternal values, to an eternal city. And as a result, he did not put his roots deep into the land of Israel. And so he was a pilgrim and a stranger, and now he bargains with the children of Heth to find a piece of real estate where he can, in fact, bury Sarah. And it says he wanted to bury her out of his sight. Now, Abraham didn't take the land in preparation for his descendants. In other words, just because the promise had been made to him that his descendants were going to inherit this land, the promise was made by God and was fulfilled by God. By buying this as a burial place, it seemed he believed that this land would one day belong to his descendants, but you'll notice he didn't take it upon himself to drive the inhabitants out. He didn't take it upon himself to fulfill that promise in his own strength. He just lived here waiting for God to fulfill the promise. And then with Abraham, I believe that he's a beautiful picture of what a Christian should be today, a person who is just passing through. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope, our blessing is not here on earth. Now, he was going to bury his dead out of his sight. And so this brings up a very controversial issue. Does that mean cremation is wrong? And there's a lot of material today written about cremation because the cost of burial in a traditional way has become so inordinately high. It's difficult for me to understand how people who are supposedly helping people that are sorrowing can take advantage of them the way they do and charge them what they charge them. And of course, it makes a real profitable situation for the life insurance industry. And we know that burials become very expensive. So many people have turned to the matter of cremation and they ask, is cremation biblical or is it not? Now, when we look at this passage, the fact that Abraham buried Sarah out of his sight is not a doctrinal statement. It's an Old Testament statement, for example, and it's not a doctrinal statement for the New Testament Christian. But the Bible does seem to indicate, at least among the prominent and among the kings, that the way they were buried had a lot to do with the way God thought about them. And so I know that I could get into the whole issue of whether cremation is right or wrong. I can show you that Saul was cremated and then his bones that were left were buried. But this was a situation where the people of Jabesh-Gilead wanted to show him honor. And when they realized that he had been killed and he had been treated disrespectfully by those who had killed him, they took his body down and burned it and then buried it. So cremation was practiced with him. There was cremation practiced with Achan in Judges chapter 7, but he had sinned against the Lord. So some would say that the only place where cremation is used in the Old Testament is where the judgment of God is being seen as well, because Saul had been disobedient and had been set aside as king. But I'm going to tell you that I've studied this backward and forward, and I don't think the Bible makes a definitive statement on cremation, and I think that we who are preaching the gospel should be careful about making a definitive statement where God has not made a definitive statement. My own prejudice being what it is, I seem to feel more comfortable with burying in a traditional way. But if somebody decides to cremate, I'm certainly not going to criticize them for doing that, and I'm not going to stand in the way so long as they do it in a reverent way. I'm not for putting an urn on a mantle. I think that when cremation occurs, the ashes, which Bible says we are ashes, and this just hastens the movement from the body we live in to the ashes that we're going to become one day, even if we are embalmed and so forth. But when we look at that, I really would like to see the urn and the ashes buried in a reverent way. That would be my personal feeling on it, but I'm giving you prejudice, and I'm telling you when you read on this, you can start out looking at the prejudice of the person who is responding to the question, and you can just about tell how they're going to support cremation or lack of it. So as we look at this passage, we can see clearly that Abraham did not cremate. He had a place where he could show reverence to his wife and could continue to remember her. But the important thing isn't what happens to the body. The important thing is what happens to the soul, the real person, and the real person must be prepared for this day of death. They prepare by repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We pray that you will bless all who have listened today in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address, our mailing address, is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.